Thank you, Cindy. So in Mark 16:15, we read, "He," that being Jesus, "said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Now, most of us, I think, have probably seen a series of commercials on TV from Progressive Insurance where they say they can't prevent you from becoming your parents. Wait a second, like that's a bad thing? So in one commercial, this guy, Dr. Rick, he's the Parenta Life Counselor or coach. He takes his clients to a shopping mall, okay? And at one point, a young person with brilliant blue hair walks by. Dr. Rick sees his clients and they're staring, and he says, "We all see it. We all see it." So what's the message there? The message is, don't gawk. Don't be rude and gawk at people who look different. What about Christians? How should we respond when we see someone who appears, shall we say, outlandish? Often, I think, we turn away or shy away. So once, many years ago, I was in Park City Mall with a young Christian, and I saw someone who was outwardly very outlandish. And I made, I also almost want to say, an involuntary facial expression of disgust. Okay? Unseen, by the way, to the individual in question. And this younger Christian said to me, leaned into me and said, "Christ died for that person too." Oh, oh. I realized at that moment that I had done exactly what we should never do. I looked at the outside. I judged a book by its cover. We're not to do that because God sees the heart. I should respond with God's compassion regardless of someone's appearance. And I wish I could stand before you today and say I've never done that since. But I'd be lying. It's human nature. So we're going to continue a series that we started about, it's called We Are the Church. And today it's about we are the church beyond the four walls of this church and into the whole world. Be a couple of parts to this, plus a bonus video at the end. So stay tuned for that. So it's about the ministry among the unreached people group of North American bikers, okay? And that is a group that dresses and sometimes acts rather outlandishly, to say the least, okay? So when Pastor Lee asked me to speak today about the church beyond four walls, I thought and I prayed about what I might say, and I kept dwelling on how many people outside the walls of this church are yet to be touched by the gospel of Christ, and how many groups are unreached, and how many of those groups of unreached people are so different from us that we have a hard time even approaching them. Yet, we're commanded to reach them. Now, in Luke 14, Jesus gives one of his many parables, okay? And this is the parable of the great banquet. So it goes like this. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I've just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry, and he ordered the servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full." Reflecting on that scripture, I believe that the invited ones in the time of Jesus' ministry on earth may have been represented by the Jewish people. What about today? What about nowadays? Maybe they're represented by the large number of people who are simply too preoccupied with their comfortable daily lives to respond to Christ's invitation. I believe that the poor, crippled, blind, and lame might point to outcasts, both in ancient and modern societies. Many in that group today wouldn't or couldn't find their way into a church to hear the good news. But Jesus demonstrated his compassion for outcasts. He healed a leper. He healed a paralytic. He gave sight to a blind beggar. He ate with a tax collector. He forgave a sinful woman, and he drove demons out of a possessed man. Each of these examples shows that Jesus was not afraid to associate with and even bless society's outcasts. So that last line of the parable, one about roads and country lanes, that's what I want to tell you about today. Now, I've asked some friends to join us today. They're sitting right in the middle there. They're pretty obvious. And you might notice that they're dressed a little differently than the rest of the people here. And so am I, okay? We're part of a ministry that we call CMA. Yeah, CMA, but not the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Instead, it's the Christian Motorcyclist Association. So I jokingly say I'm a member of CMA twice over. So in any event, we are an international organization, and we have chapters in more than 30 countries around the world. So the local chapter that we all belong to is called the Iron Peacemakers. CMA was founded back in 1975. It has grown to well over 100,000 members worldwide. So we go out into the roads, to the country lanes, to the highways, and almost anywhere bikers are found. You know, bikers here in the U.S. and in many other parts of the world are often looked down upon as outcasts, as undesirables, as hooligans. Society tends to wall them out, to turn their backs, quick, hide the children kind of a thing. Because of that virtual wall between them and normal Christians, they often have little contact with the gospel. They constitute an unreached people group. But our vision is to reach the unreached. Our vision statement says that we want to change the world one heart at a time. Our mission as members of CMA is to reach out to bikers with the hope of Christ. So we do that in a variety of ways. We'll go to local events and minister at events like a biker rally. We'll go to a biker rally and set up a canopy. We'll offer prayer and bike blessings. We witness verbally. We witness by our actions. We'll sign up for secular charity rides, benefit rides, that sort of thing. We can rub elbows with other bikers. We'll go to bike shows. Much like biker rallies, we witness verbally and by our actions. We go to dealer open houses. A Harley dealer or whatever dealer has an open house, and they'll let us in. We'll go, we'll set up our canopy, and we'll offer to pray with people. We'll offer to bless bikes. And we'll offer to help out with the event. We go to motorcycle races. That is my favorite shot that I've ever taken at a motorcycle race. I call that, pardon me for a second, I'll step out of the script. That I call the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. But I think someone already claimed that. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Yeah. It could have been my photo. And if it's been on TV, I'd like to know who put it on. Okay, so in any event. But here's what happens at motorcycle races. You might see a group of CMAers, as we call them, going through the pits before the race and praying with each race team and blessing their bikes. Or you might see a CMAer before the race begins take the microphone and offer prayer or the invocation before the race begins. Biker breakfasts. So biker breakfasts have become a thing. A lot of places host them, and we help out with one. Our local chapter helps out with one that's in Lebanon County on a monthly basis. There, our ministry is a little different. We set up our canopy. We offer prayer, that sort of thing. We rub elbows with bikers. But we coordinate the parking so that it's done in an orderly fashion, which gives us an opportunity to greet each arriving biker with a good morning and a smile. And we wear our vest, and they know who we are. And when they have a prayer need, they know where to come. So we look for divine appointments. So we look for divine appointments at gas stations, at diners, wherever else we find ourselves. And we have many opportunities to strike up a conversation with other riders while we're taking a break at the Sheets or some other gas station. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to demonstrate how that might go. So you just thought we had this up here to show it off. This is an object lesson. Wow, nice bike.
Thank you.
What year is this?
This is 2021.
Wow. So it's brand new? It's so beautiful. Wow. Hey, my name's Jeff. What's yours?
Hi, Logan. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me. Let me ask you a question. Have you had your bike blessed?
No. What is that?
Well, I ride with the Christian Motorcyclist Association, and we like to pray with riders, pray over their motorcycle, and ask God's blessing and safety. I could do that today for your bike if you'd like. So before I do anything, can I lay a hand on your bike? I don't like to touch anybody's bike without permission.
Sure.
Okay. So let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for the gift of motorcycling. What a thrill it is to be out on the road with the wind in our face and the freedom of riding and seeing your beautiful creation. It is a thrill. Thank you for that. Lord, we know that along with that, riding carries hazards and dangers. And Lord, I pray for Logan right now, and I pray for this machine here, that you would protect both Logan and this bike, that you'd watch over them, surround them by your protection as he rides this bike, and as he's a new rider learning to ride it. And Lord, just give him that thrill, but keep him safe. Keep this machine reliable throughout the riding season. And Lord, I pray that what Logan reflects back, let's say when the weather turns chilly and he's going to be putting it away for the season, that he would look back and say, oh my goodness, God was with me every mile. And we pray in the name of our brother and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So Logan, what I have is a decal, okay? You can put that on your bike if you want to, that's not to protect you, but it's to remind you that you're relying on God for his protection. I also have a card for you. You probably want to get back out on the road. You can stick that in your pocket, take a look at that later. That tells you how to connect with God through his son, Jesus. And this last thing is, this is some contact information here. You know, if you've got questions, my phone number's on there, give me a call. If you just want to go for a ride, give me a call. And if I'm available, we can go for a ride.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, and may God go with you as you ride. So that scenario plays out time after time after time where we meet riders. It's not always the exact same script, but it's very similar to that. And I've met very few riders who refused prayer. So we look for opportunities with anyone, divine appointments, anyone we meet along, whether they ride or not. So we bumped into this group on the Skyline Drive, and they were, some of us remember that, yes. And they were fascinated. But you know what they were curious about? They were curious about who we are. Wow, Christian bikers. You know, they see our back patch, they're curious about that. They see our bikes, they're attracted to it, and we have an opportunity to share the hope of Jesus with them. So that is part one. That's kind of who we are and what we do here. Part two, we're going to talk about a thing called Run for the Sun. Okay, so this is about reaching to all the world with the hope of the gospel. So CMA desires to reach beyond our own biker culture. We want to reach our biker culture. We want to reach beyond our biker culture. We want... So we want to use the resources God made available to us to reach around the world. So how do we do that? Well, here we go. We don't charge dues. We expect our members to cover the administrative costs of the operation of our organization. That allows CMA to commit all other funds raised to both home and worldwide missions. We have only one fundraiser each year, and we call it Run for the Sun, kind of a play on words. We encourage our members to raise funds throughout the year to get ready for our annual Run for the Sun offering. Then on the first Saturday of May, we gather to collect the offering, and then we celebrate it with a scenic motorcycle ride. So this year, this past May, it's always the first Saturday in May, we got together and we in Mount Joy. You can flip to the next one. There you go. Okay. We got together in Mount Joy and we rode to the Pennsylvania Monument at Gettysburg, and we did something there. We've done this a couple times that people are kind of surprised at. We gathered on the steps of that public monument for prayer and communion. And we gathered with other CMA chapters from South Central Pennsylvania. So what do we do with all this money that comes in? So there's a pie chart here that kind of divides it up. I'll explain how that works. So it's used for evangelistic outreach to bikers at small and large events throughout the U.S., and that's the 0 to 40 mile an hour part of that speedometer, okay? So 40% goes to what we call home missions. Now, the remaining 60%, if you look at that, you can see it's divided up into three sections. That enables CMA to extend the open arms of Christ to millions of people around the world. We've been able to place the message of hope and salvation in front of millions of people in 194 countries around the world. We do this by partnering with ministries that have world-reaching potential. And each of those ministries gets a 20% share of the Run for the Sun offering. So the first one is called Missionary Ventures. And CMA's Run for the Sun started in 1984. Flip to the next one. There you go. Yeah, it started in 1984 in an effort to provide one motorcycle to one pastor in Guatemala, because this guy was walking. Okay? Yeah, yeah. This is an example. This fella, I think, is from Ghana. He's happy to get a motorcycle. So the motorcycle that was provided to that particular pastor, the first one, it multiplied his effectiveness so he could reach more villages and minister to more people than he could by walking. CMA followed up 4 years later and partnered with Missionary Ventures International. Missionary Ventures provides motorcycles primarily, over 5,000 of them now, I think, or other appropriate transportation methods, bicycle, a boat, a horse, even a camel. And we've done that for pastors in 104 countries. Historically, back to the motorcycle thing, every motorcycle provided enables a pastor to plant 10 new churches. And each new church is seeing as many as 180 believers all in the first year. So the next ministry we partner with is one that's probably familiar to you, the Jesus Film Project. A lot of people have heard of the Jesus Film Project. It tells people about Jesus in their native language in 124 countries around the world. We began supporting the Jesus Film Project in 1995. Their vision, now catch this, their vision is to provide everyone everywhere with a life-changing encounter with Jesus through film. Everyone everywhere. That's quite a vision. But it's been translated into 1,920 languages. And the impact of the Jesus film has been felt in jungles and deserts and bustling cities all over the world. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. For every dollar CMA invests, and I would say for every dollar anybody invests in the Jesus Film Project, for every dollar that enables the Jesus Film Project to show that film to 10 people, okay? And out of those 10, on average, one accepts Christ. Wow, that's world-reaching potential. And then the third organization is an organization called Open Doors, and they are serving the persecuted Christians. So there are nations in the world where the message of Jesus is not only unwelcome, it's prohibited. In many of those countries, if you share the gospel, you could get locked up or you could get killed. Working through Open Doors, CMA is providing Bibles, Christian training materials, and direct aid to the persecuted in 60 of the most oppressive countries around the world. Open Doors is committed to sharing Jesus and supporting believers in countries such as Syria, North Korea, Iraq, and North Sudan. And those are only four examples of 60 countries that they do work in. So we began partnering with Open Doors in 1988. CMA's Run for the Sun has purchased more than 3.2 million Bibles and provided funding for millions of Christian training and evangelistic aids in support of those who work in these very dangerous locations. Since beginning in 1984, Run for the Sun has invested $88 million to help spread the good news of salvation through Christ. It's been estimated that this has resulted in more than 30 million salvations. Now, this year, Run for the Sun hit a record. We hit a record. $5.25 million raised. Yeah. So that translates into more than $1 million each for Missionary Ventures, the Jesus Film Project, Open Doors, with $2 million left over for outreach here in the United States. So imagine, if you will, the global impact we can continue to have as God allows us to participate in His mission to reach the lost everywhere whether they're here in the U.S. or in some far-flung corner of the world. So, time for me to summarize. I'd say you probably know more than you ever knew before about Christian bikers. You also know how we reach out to the outcasts of society, both locally and around the world. But outcasts are everywhere. They're not just among bikers. And Jesus referred to them as the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, and certainly other terms as well. There are outcasts and down and outers in all areas of the world, and many are nearby. So what's our response to them? One of the challenges we face is to help the less fortunate and not overlook or reject them, not turn our backs on them, not wall them out, not look at them like there's no hope for them. I can tell you, there are some rough-looking bikers who love Jesus because they know from what they have been saved. Yeah, yeah. Certainly, we should pray for them and ask God to draw them to himself. And the next time some rough-looking biker roars past you on a highway, pray for him or pray for her, that the salvation of Jesus would reach to this one too. So, I've got a couple of minutes here. And what I'd like to do is just open up, if there's a couple of questions, any questions somebody has. This is your opportunity to put me on the spot. If you have a question, I'll be glad to answer it. And if not, that's okay too. So, yes. In a way, we are. Yeah. And what Terry's saying is right, and a lot of it has to do, and you've probably heard this phrase, earning the right to be heard. Earning the right to be heard. We need to earn the right to be heard by people who oftentimes want nothing to do with us. But we earn the right to be heard, and they'll listen to us. And they'll have trouble crop up in their lives. And they may just come to us and say, can you help me out? And it gives us that opportunity. Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? Wait, let me take over here first.
Do you follow up with pastors such as the fellow perhaps in Ghana?
Yes.
But you have to keep it right.
Right. Yeah, and Missionary Ventures follows up on that sort of thing to make sure that they're able to keep it running and maintain that sort of thing. Yeah, maybe they'd send me over to help them out. That might be fun to do, but no, Missionary Ventures does that. Yeah, Carol has a question. Oh, yeah.
So, they may look tough, but if you get the chance to talk to them, it's surprising.
One photo, and I didn't tell you what it was. I just said local event, and you saw a photo, and it was like a sea of motorcycles. Real quickly, that's the bunny run. Now, what biker would go on a bunny run? It's the day before Easter. We gather in Hummelstown, and the price of admission for the ride is a brand new stuffed bunny, and we ride to hospitals. that's it right there. That's up in Hummelstown. And we give those bunnies, now during non-COVID times, for children who are stuck in a hospital over Easter. And they go from Hummelstown the whole way to Philly, to Allentown, down into Maryland. And I've been on the bunny run already. We split up and we had over 300 riders. So they have a heart. They really do. And you see some rough-looking characters show up for the bunny run. You know, it's the way it is. So anybody else have a question? Yes. Well, if you bring it in, I'll pray over it. I will do that. You just catch me and I'll pray over it. And we'll put a bike blessing decal on your bicycle. Okay? That's a promise. Okay. And another question somewhere in the back? Oh, let me get over here so I can see. Oh. Oftentimes, they're very grateful. Because I got to tell you, there's a lot of people, and I was one of them before I became a Christian, and I testified to this here in this church. I did not think there was any hope for me. I didn't think there was. And a lot of them feel the same way. And when they find out that the love of Jesus extends even to them, they are grateful. They are grateful. Yeah. Okay. And that's an excellent question. And Missionary Ventures International coordinates that. They're out in the field and they know where the needs are, and we provide the funding. And what we also do is some people who have raised a lot of money for Run for the Sun will actually go to that country and be present when that motorcycle is presented. Missionary Ventures International, they coordinate all that stuff and they know where the needs are. So that's excellent. Judy, I think you had your hand up. Oh. Okay. Okay. Well, that's I'll take that, and it's all to God's glory. So thank you. And that's the message. And I think now we're going to sing. Is that right? Yes, we are. Good. Sue got up.